I'm going to ask you to open your Bible in the book of Romans this morning. And Romans chapter 1, and we'll just be reading 3 or 4 verses. And I wanted to speak to you this morning about the fact that we need some heroes in our churches and heroes working through our churches to see people saved and see people's lives changed. And we live in an era of idols and stars and heroes and champs. And just about everybody has a hero of some sort or the other. A movie star, a TV star, a sports star, a pop star, authors, and the list goes on and on and on. Heroes are everywhere. Sadly, we even find some heroes in the ministry. We've got some pastors who are honored and followed by thousands and almost worshipped. And how sad that is. Pop star-like preachers. Wherever they go, there are crowds adoring them. And how sad that is. The modern definition of a hero is a person who is greatly regarded for achievement and for quality. My definition of a hero is somebody who selflessly, bravely gives himself for others. And that's what we really need. You know, during the war, one of my loves is Second World War, and you read about heroes who gave their lives, guys who throw their bodies on top of a grenade to help others, heroes. In fact, just this week, if you watch TV, the Ukrainians honored a great hero of theirs marching through town and honoring this one man who did a great thing. This is an example of a hero. Heard of read of a swimmer. There was a shipwreck off the beach, and a man who swam out 15 times to save people. Just think of it. 15 times he swam out. Came back and collapsed on the beach, and in fact never to be the same again. He actually damaged himself through doing all that. That is what we call a hero. And of course, our Bible is full of heroes of that sort. Our history, our Christian history, is full of heroes who have given their lives and bravely and selflessly gone to foreign countries to win people. William Carey, 200 years ago, went to India. Hudson Taylor, James Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. C.T. Studd, who incidentally was, if you're a cricket fan, he was the opening batsman for England in the very first Ashes game against Australia, who got saved, gave it all up, and went to China first of all, and when he was told he could no longer work in China because of health issues, came to Africa and worked here. Great, great heroes. Robert Moffat, who went to Kuruman over here and worked there. His son-in-law, David Livingstone, who came here. We all know of these great, great heroes. I want to read about this great hero, Paul, and his attitude. And we trust this will help us to be the heroes we need to be. I read from verse 13, Romans chapter 1. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Three things I want to bring to your attention that Paul speaks about over here, and we'll look at that in a minute. Father, we're so thankful for this church and all they mean to us. We're thankful for this opportunity to just report back slightly. We're thankful for the Word of God that teaches us. And as we look at this now, you know that this preacher needs your help. I pray that we'd all just put our thoughts to one side and concentrate on what we're hearing. And Lord, allow us to work and for you to work in our hearts. Thank you for loving us. And we look forward to what you're going to do through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe we need heroes in this country of ours. We need Christian heroes above everything else. If there's any help for this country ever, it's going to be the gospel and people telling people about our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in Paul here that he has three things he mentions over here. First of all, he says, I'm a debtor. And we need some heroes who have a burden like this man had a burden. You see, by saying he's a debtor, Paul realized that he had a responsibility to others to share the gospel with him. You see, he knew that Christ had died for mankind, and the world just didn't know about it, and he wanted to be the one to tell the world about this. He'd found the truth. He'd found salvation. He'd found forgiveness, eternal life, and he was grateful. And he felt he was a debtor to others, that he needed to tell them about this. You see, he was like a cancer patient who desperately needed a cure, found it, and found other cancer patients with the same problem. Or like me, that had an eye problem, and found the man who can help. And I can now tell others who have eye problems, cornea problems, that there is somebody who can help you. I read some time ago about a doctor went to China and helped with cataract surgeries there. And one of the men he'd helped pitched up a month later with 13 others on a rope behind him. All who brought, because he'd received help, he brought all of these that needed help. You see, and Paul said to himself, listen, I'm a Jew, yes, but the whole world needs to know about this. And he determined he'd do it. And he said, listen, I'm a debtor to the Greeks, first of all. Now, the Greeks were the cultured and the learned people. And we know that Paul did witness to these people, to a businesswoman by the name of Lydia, Philippi, when he went there, to King Agrippa, to Festus, even to Caesar. He felt a burden for these people. Many Roman officers got saved. Do you know, at the end of Philippians, Paul says that the household of Caesar greets you. These were people who worked for Caesar. He'd witnessed to them. He'd won them to the Lord. How many of us are concerned about people who are better off than we are? How many of us are concerned of the souls of people who have more than we have? For instance, you know, we're debtors to the lawyer, to the doctor. We're debtors to our employer, to our manager. We're debtors to these people. We need to let them know as well. What a blessing. I was at our home church, Croydon Church, years ago when a lady came in and she shook my hand, and she was a Portuguese lady, and she said, hello, this is, blah, 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 and she said, this is my boss. I brought him with to church this morning. Wasn't that wonderful? She brought her boss to work, you see. I was in a church up in Johannesburg many years ago, and the pastor was welcoming people, and this is in the apartheid time, incidentally, and he said, I want to welcome everybody this morning. And Emily, I want to welcome your madam you brought this morning. I'm sorry, madam, I didn't get your name. Emily had brought a madam. Emily worked in the house for this woman. And she brought her to the Lord. What a wonderful attitude. This is what we should have. My friend Jan Orkers works up in Brits, up in Pretoria way. And Jan Orkers was a 16-year-old. He'd been saved for a year and a half when a new NG Germany moved into town. And came to introduce himself. He was a young man, and he introduced himself to Jan, and you know what Jan did? Led him to the Lord. The man got saved. And he and Jan are still friends today. You see, folks, everybody needs the gospel. And we are debtors. We have a responsibility to share the gospel with those who don't know it, even those who are above us. I said to my doctor one day, after he'd examined me, I said, you know, doc, you're the man of the body, I'm the man of the soul. And I want to ask you, are you ready to die? You know what death is? I know what death is. Are you ready for it? And we need to be speaking to people. See, not only did he have a debtor to the Greeks, the cultured, he was also a debtor to the barbarians. The barbarians were the uncultured, the unlearned people. And Paul said, listen, I care for these people as well, and I'm a debtor to them. And he was. Remember that runaway slave, Onesimus? Paul spoke to him, led him to the Lord. What about that demon-possessed girl we read of, Philippi, and he helps this girl? What about those two refugees, Aquila and Priscilla, friends with them? You see, we need to have a burden for those who have less than we have, you see, and a lower standing than us. These are the type of people that Nina and I have been working with for the last 40-odd years. We've been working with these people, the people who are packers and checkers, people who are gardeners and housemaids, and the lady on the cash register at Pick and Pay. We need to have a burden for them. These are the folk that need the Lord as well. Now, let me tell you, it's easy to speak to them. It's not so easy to speak to those who have more than we have. But we are debtors to all of these people. And can I ask you, is your attitude, I found the truth about Christ, I found the bargain, I found the cure, and I'm a debtor to these people to share with them what's going on? There's a lovely story in 2 Kings about four lepers. These guys are dependent on Samaria, the city of Samaria, their families or whoever, to give them food, to give them what they need. And Samaria is besieged by the Assyrians. And they can get nothing. And they're standing outside of this city. And the one says to the other one, listen, if we go to the city, we're to die. But you know what? If we go to the Assyrians, we may just live. And they go off to the camp of the Assyrians. And when they get there, God had frightened the Assyrians away. And there's nothing. And they're just tents. And there's clothing. And there's food. There's even gold. Because it tells us they went in, they ate, and they clothed themselves in some new clothing, and they took the gold they found and buried it. And they did the same thing, and they did the same thing, until one of them turned and said to the other, we do not well. Our city and our friends are starving, and all the food in the world is here. And they go back and tell the guys at the gates, food is available. Friends, we do not well if we keep the gospel to ourselves. And we need heroes who are burdened for others. The second thing Paul says here, he says, I am ready. He says, listen, I'm ready to come to Rome to preach. And we need some heroes who are bold. You see, Paul was willing to share the gospel anywhere, everywhere, with anybody. It didn't matter who it was. Whether it was a slave, whether it was a king, he spoke to them and he was ready to do that. From the day he was saved, he was ready to do that. In fact, in Damascus, he had to flee for his life because he did it. In Asia, he planted churches. In Greece, they laughed at him for doing it, in Athens. And now he's ready to go to and do it in Rome. You know, it's very interesting. I got involved in winning people a number of weeks after we got saved. Our pastor came to visit us one night, and he said, can't stay long, I'm going out. I said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to knock on doors. I said, to do what? He said, well, to give them the gospel, to tell people about the Lord. I said, can I come with you? And that's where I started speaking to people and knocking on doors. And incidentally, all our churches have been started by us knocking on doors, going from door to door to door to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I went with him, and that's where I started. Paul was a different story altogether. In Acts 9, just after he'd been saved, and Ananias had prayed for him and he could see again, it tells us in Acts 9:20, immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues. From day one, he got involved with it. You know, when the mob wanted to kill him, and after he'd been arrested in Acts 22, he gave his testimony. What did he do with his testimony? He witnessed to them, told them they needed to be saved. And you see, sharing the gospel with the lost should be, after worshiping our God, should be the second most important thing in our lives. Paul's motto was, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Preach, share. That's all it is. Peter's motto, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for the reason, for the hope that's in you. Give them a reason. The reason they do this, how shall they call upon him on whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher, without somebody sharing with them? And our country needs heroes desperately. How can I be a hero? Let me tell you what you need to do. Number one, you need to have a lifestyle that's so different from the world that people know, and when they see you, there's completely something different about you. Francis of Assisi said, share the gospel wherever you go, and if necessary, use words. Isn't that something? Firstly, before we use the words, we need to have a lifestyle that goes with the words. We need to do that. We need, through our kindness and our love, our friendliness, our words. Have you ever, do this maybe next time, you stand in the queue at Pick and Pay or Checkers, and you see the people in front of you, and you see the poor teller that has to deal with these people. I had a woman in front of me the other day, man, she threw the food down, she said, Jelle Costa is nou so, Jelle het nou ridiculous geword, man, ons kan nie meer kostig nie, wat maak Jelle? This poor girl, all she knows is working the till. It's got nothing to do with her. So I have, for years and years, I've been, before I even get to her, I'm smiling at her. And I find something nice about her. And I tell her something. The other day I saw one who had different colored nails. So I said to her, oh, I like your nails. Who did your nails? She said, my sister. I said, well, I just check her out. I think she's colorblind. She's got different colors here everywhere. I wouldn't go to her again. And we laughed. But you know, when I gave her a gospel tract afterwards, she put it in her pocket and she said, I'll read it at lunchtime. You see, our kindness, our friendliness, the way we speak to people, this is what makes the difference. And that's how we're a hero, you see. And make sure you've got a gospel tract with you. We give them out by the hundreds, my wife and I, every month. And people need to be saved. Let me give you a third one. Paul said, listen, we need heroes who are not ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God, you see. And that's exactly what it is, friends. Well, first of all, it's the gospel. The word gospel needs good news. Sure. You know, the best news I've heard recently, the only good news I heard last night, I see they want to bring the load shedding down to stage one. That's our good news nowadays. Have you heard any good news? Yeah. They're bringing the load shedding down. There's no good news. Open up any newspaper, watch any TV. Where's the good news? It's just crisis, murdering, killing, bombing, and all the rest of it. Somebody said to me the other day, excuse my Afrikaans, but ons het Spoornet, and ons het Transnet, and ons het Kijknet, and ons het Mnet. En maar nou het ons ook steelnet, vatnet, breeknet, steeknet. And that's the truth, isn't it? That's what you see on the news. That's all it is. And yeah, you and I have the best news anybody could ever, ever get. That you can have a new life. You can have a changed life. I was crazy about money, folks. Let me tell you. I mean, we had a business. We were making money. I drove Porsches. I did all of these things. And listen, God gave me a new life. He took away my love for money and He gave me a love for souls. Our company got the contract to do all the signs at Nazareth up in Johannesburg just before I left there. I was more excited about a soul I'd led the Lord the night before than all the millions we would have made out of that. You see, and God gives people a new life. And that's what we can go and tell people. You know, in Kloetersville and in Stellenbosch, and we have people who have miserable lives. I mean, absolutely, but you can't believe it. They have nothing. And we can go to them and say, you know what? God can give you something that's so much more important than this life, and that's eternal life. And Paul said, listen, we've got this great news we can share with people that we need to do. He said, it's not just great news. He said, it's the power of God. Now, you tell me, what other message can rescue people from hell? There's nothing else. All the other messages are hopeless. What other message can change lives? We have the first lady we led the Lord in Kloetersville. We'd covered the whole of the township in tracts, and she got one and she phoned me and she said, I'm a drunk. Can you help me? Well, we went to see, Nina and I went to see her. Lived in a shack in the back of her mom's house. Had two illegitimate children from two different men. She said, I drink myself stupid every weekend. Can you help me? And we led her to the Lord. And she got saved. We started a Bible study in her mom's home. And we then moved to the school. And from there, we built a church building. Dawn's with us. But listen what God did. First of all, he took away her love for alcohol. She never drank again, ever. Secondly, and if you'd seen Dawn, there was no hope of her ever getting a husband. She was already not middle-aged, but she was nearing it. She was quite chubby, and she had really nothing going for her. And yet God brought the man that she had her first child with back into her life. He just got saved. And we were able to marry them. It was sad. The car that was supposed to bring her to church to the wedding never pitched up, so she had to walk to church. But we married her. And her and Eric eventually got an RDP house out of the shack. And then Eric got a job with Anton Rupert's sister as a gardener. And she bought him a brand new car, a Golf. Listen, if you'd said to Dawn, you're going to ride around in a car one day of your own, I mean, she wouldn't have believed it. You know what the Ruperts did for her? They bought them a 3-bedroom house in walking distance from the church. And I remember us going there, we dedicated the house, and she took Nina to the bathroom and said, look, I've got my own bath. Now, that's what God does, you see. You know, we talk about taking people to heaven, and that's fantastic. But you know, he changes lives here. And I could tell you about lives that have been changed, you wouldn't believe it. Peter Nell, a pastor friend of ours, he's passed away now, he was up in El Dorado Park. He used to work at Pilkington Glass in Springs, glass manufacturers. And he'd led a Zulu to the Lord. He spoke Zulu fluently, and he led a Zulu to the Lord. And when he got to work the next day, he got to the gate, and the security guy said, are you Nell? He said, yeah. He said, they want you in the office. And he said, oh my goodness, want me in the office, it means they're firing you, because it's the only thing they ever want you for. Well, he rushed up the office, and when he got up the top of the receptionist, said, are you Nell? Yeah, go through, the boss is waiting for you. And he went in there, when he went into the boss, he was sitting like this on his desk, and in front of his desk was hammers and saws and all kinds of junk lying around, screwdrivers and all kinds of things. And in the corner stood the Zulu. And the boss said, are you Nell? He said, yeah. He said, I don't know what this man's talking about. He's mumbling in his language. Ask him what on earth is going on and why he threw all this stuff on my desk. And Peter said, what's going on? He said, tell this man, these are all the things I stole from him. Now I'm saved. I bring them back today. That is a changed life. And that's in my hands and your hands to help people with. You see. And notice something else that Paul says, it's for everyone. Nina and I have been able to speak to Muslims and causes and Lebanese and Portuguese. Some of them could write, some had degrees, some were illiterate. Do you know, we've never had to change the message. Here's the thing with the gospel. It's a one-size-fits-all. Whether you speak to a little child or whether you speak to a grown-up, it's the same message. Jesus died for you. And that's what it is. Let me just share two more things with you. We need some heroes who are willing to pay the cost. Let me tell you something. Anything that's worth anything on earth involves cost. Helga was telling me she's got some children at university. It costs. We've put 3 kids through university. It costs. They got to work to get something. Do you know that swimmer that swam out for those 15 people he saved? It cost him his health. He was never, ever the same again after he all did that, you see. And winning the lost also comes with a cost, friends. Somebody once said, receiving the gospel will cost you nothing. Sharing the gospel will cost you something. Living the gospel will cost you everything. You see. And Paul understood this, and he paid the price for it. And the missionaries of the past paid the price for it. You see. And let me tell you what it'll cost you to be a hero. It's going to cost you, first of all, that you die to yourself. You know, Jesus said, pick up your cross every day and follow me. Do you know what he meant by that? Die to yourself. And that's what it is. It means dying to your plans, your desires, your wants, and following his plan, his wants for you. You see. The missionaries to the South Sea Islands, Fiji particularly, was a group of them going down led by Samuel Marsden and others. James Calvert was there amongst them. And when they got in the boat, James Calvert was the leader of this group, and the captain of the ship called him over and said, Mr. Calvert, you do realize you and your children and your wives are going to die. You're going to cannibals. These people are wild. You're going to die. And James Calvert said to him, sir, before we ever put our foot on this boat, we died. You see, they died to themselves, to their desires. And if you're going to be a hero, that's what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your time and your effort, your money. It's going to cost hard work with little reward, let me tell you. And there will be very little appreciation for what you're doing. Do you know that swimmer that swam out for 15 people? Do you know that not one of those 15 ever came to thank him? He gave his life for them. No appreciation. Teddy Roosevelt was one of the presidents of the USA. He was a big hunter. And there was a big story of him going over to Africa, went into Mozambique and northern part of South Africa, shooting these goodies. And when he came back, he was in a boat, came back to America. And on the boat with him were an old missionary couple who'd been in Africa most of their lives. And when they arrived at the dock, there was a big fanfare with band welcome old Teddy Roosevelt back, and the crowds were waving flags and going to crazy and going on. And the missionary couple stood on the top looking down at all of this, and the wife said to her husband, there's nobody here to welcome us. And he said, sweetheart, we're not home yet. This is not our home. We're not home yet. There'll be little appreciation, let me tell you. Friends and family will consider you crazy. It may cost you your life. In the past 40 years, I've been shot at. My car's been stoned. I've been chased out of houses. I've been surrounded by gangs. We've had all kinds of things happen to us. We've had satanic attacks like I cannot tell you. We've had our goods stolen. I was handing out tracts in Clintonsville when a guy walked up to me and robbed me. We've had all of these things. It's going to cost you something, and it may cost you your life. But it's worth every minute of it. Worth every bit of it. You see, to be a hero, you must understand as well that there are rewards. And the rewards are great. You see, people think, oh, you're chucking your life away. You know, people say to Hudson Taylor, you're chucking your life away to go to China. Let me tell you, it's worth it. You never, ever give your life away to God that he doesn't give it back better than you ever, ever imagined. You never give your money away to the Lord that he doesn't give you more back in some way or the other. And Nina and I have had the reward and the privilege of working for God himself. Just think about it. I don't know who your boss is, okay? My boss is God. What a loving and kind God he is. And he disciplines regularly. And he rewards continuously. We've had the wonderful honor of seeing lives changed like you cannot believe. We've had the honor of living from God's hand. You know, in 40 years, we've never asked one person for 1 cent. This church has never had a letter from us saying, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. We've gone to God. He's my boss. I've gone to the boss and said, Lord, we need. We put three kids through university. We didn't have the money for it. God's given me four cars over the years. Never asked for one of them. I've got a very beautiful motorbike. Anybody? Oh, no, you wouldn't have seen it yet, but I have a very beautiful motorbike given to me. Man came up to me and said, I'd like you to have this. And you see, God supplies constantly, and we've seen him supply our every need and our every requirement. Our children today serve the Lord. Our daughter's the pianist in Costa Cal's church. Our son serves in Emmanuel. My other son is a writer of music, and he writes hymns beautifully up in Johannesburg. All working in the churches. And then there's the joy of hearing Jesus one day say, well done, faithful servant. And then, of course, there are going to be crowns and rewards. And that's going to be fantastic as well. And then occasionally, there are rewards here on earth as well. Just occasionally. Robert Moffat. I had tears in my eyes when I read this the other day. A nobody who'd given his life to come and work in Kuruman. When he went back to England, they invited him to the Parliament. The King was there. When Robert Moffat walked in, they all stood in admiration. James Hudson Taylor, who gave his life, and people said, you're wasting your life in China. Do you know he had a brother by the name of Will, who was a parliamentarian in England? Very famous man. The Encyclopedia Britannica, in reference to Will, just says the following. Brother of James Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. There are rewards as well. There are rewards. So, folks, closing up, we don't need fluffy heroes anymore. We don't need any more sports players and fancy guys with tattoos and they bring things anywhere they can nowadays. I mean, look, saw a lady the other day, she had a ring in her nose, and she had three up atop you. And I said to her, one of my ladies that I'm smiling at, and I said to her, I think you're a problem. She said, what happened? I think you were disturbed this morning when you put your earrings in. You put them in the wrong place, man. You put them up here. Let me be honest. We don't need more doctors, more lawyers, more engineers, more accountants. We do need more serious missionaries. Do you know that Nina and I are the last of our South African crowd that are missionaries? Oh, there are a lot of Americans coming out. There are people doing things, but there are no South Africans doing anything. And we desperately need men and women. It doesn't matter how old you are. We need men and women who give up their lives to start churches to see people saved. Can I ask you, are you prepared to be a hero? Will you from this day onwards be a hero and go out and tell people about Christ? Would you pray about maybe doing something a bit more than that? Let me just add, we need some heroes who stay behind you. We need heroes to give the finances and to pray for those who go. You see, we've been able to do what we've done. It's because people in this church and 35 other churches like this have been on their knees for us. Supported us, provided the finances we needed so that hundreds can be saved. We need you as a hero. Father, thank you so much for this church and all they mean to us. We praise you today for Paul and his attitude, and we ask you please to work in our hearts now so that we'd be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.